We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heatbeat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, I ain't got nobody. I don't think anybody wanted to. I think a two-game stretch like that really sucks the life out of your fandom and enjoy to want to do this. But I'm here for you today. I looked at some numbers. I tried to make sense of what's going on this season because it's a little strange. It reeks of 2021-2022, and I just feel this team's like a lot better than that group. So I'm trying to understand like what's going on. Like why does it stink? Why are the vibes off? Fez Butter in chat says, two straight G's, days of G? Lord have mercy. That's, you're stuck with me. I'm what you got. Don't worry, we won't go long. It'll be a short show today. I have other work to attend to. I have busy week leading up to Christian's wedding. Shout out to that. I'm excited. We're going to tell tons of stories from there. From a little Heat Beat retreat. So I want to talk about the offense today. Because to me, that, you know, the defense has been like fine, I guess. They're 11th or 12th or something. They're like 1 point per 100 possessions worse than they were last season. Obviously, relative to the league, you know, they were fourth last year. They're 11th or 12th or whatever. So somewhere around there this year. And, you know, obviously not good enough to Heat standards. You feel it, you look it. But at the end of the day, their offense is what's abysmal. Their offense has been some of the, you know, one of the worst Heat offenses I think I've ever seen, which is kind of weird to say when you have Jimmy, Bam, you know, Kyle, Tyler. You have like a couple offensive players. They're 26 in offense this year. They're 26 in offense. Absolutely insane. They're right with the Orlando Magic, the Clippers. The Clippers are that bad, huh? The Spurs, the Hornets. They're below the Pistons, the Rockets, the Lakers, right? So their offense is like bottom of the league bad. And I'm like, well, what's going on here? Obviously, we know the shooting is down. I think we feel it. You see it. How much down? So I kind of went through some numbers today. And I'm going to go one by one. For like, you know, they're like six most important shooters, right? And they have a lot of shooters, right? And I'm gonna first say the shooting last season, then followed by this season. So Max last year was 41% from three, down to 36 this year. Gabe 37, down to 30. Lowry 38 last year, 35 this year. Hero 40 to 36. Caleb Martin 42 last year. 41 this year. He's still good. Duncan Robinson, 39 last year to 32 this year. Every single shooter that they depend on has regressed. Every single one. That is so catastrophic. And like, not just like regressed a little. Like, you know, Caleb's like 1%. Like, who cares? Kyle's like 2%. Who cares? It's guys that went from good, from like great to just good, right? 36% is like, that's fine, right? You know, 38% is like good, I guess. You know, Max went from 41, great shooter, to an okay shooter. Gabe went from a good shooter, 37%. That's a good shooter. It's not a great shooter. It's a good shooter. It's a dependable shooter that's going to help your offense. To 30% this year, negative shooter. You know, Tyler went from great to good. They're at 40% last year to 36 this year. 36 is a super number. You know, Duncan went from 39%. Almost great, pretty great season shooting. 32 this year, absolutely abysmal. Sweet the Smolik says, just when we thought this season wasn't bad enough, G pops up. I'm here to ruin everything more than you could fucking imagine. They lose PJ Tucker's production. That matters. And obviously he's been bad this year. I mean, PJ's been just dog shit. We played the clip on Hangover Time last night of the guy screaming of PJ shooting because it's so funny. You know. But he's shooting 39% from three for the Sixers this year. You know, maybe he's not, the attempts aren't where they were in Miami, but, you know, he's still a dependable shooter. He was a 41% shooter last year. And that, you know, I think a lot of PJ season has been, like, super shit on, which it deserves it because, like, he really, like, does nothing a lot of the time. His numbers at the rim are down. Just everything's down. Shooting's still good, though. You know, you play next to some guys who create from you, he'll knock that shit down in the corner. And Miami, that was important to them because Miami doesn't play an East-West kind of game anymore. You know, in the 2020-2021 season, I'm sorry, in the 2019-2020 season and then the following year, the 2020-2021, they played more of a kind of East-West game. If you remember the dribble handoffs, the ball movement, all that stuff is kind of what they did because they didn't have enough guys that can get to the rim. They had Jimmy. Tyler wasn't really a downhill pick-and-roll creator yet. You know, Bam was just a role man and a really good passing big, especially from the high post, from all that. You know, Goran, you know, in the finals, in the kind of playoff run, became kind of had that zip going downhill. But Goran wasn't he was a go downhill and score, not necessarily like a go downhill and create kind of guy. Jimmy was the one that was doing that. And they, you know, they lack rim pressure, but what they made up for it was they used their handoffs to kind of create space for a bunch of guys that really couldn't dribble. They didn't have a lot of ball handlers. And as time went on, that stopped working because teams started switching those actions. You know, I've always referred to the Toronto game where the Raptors switched OG Anunoby and Norm Powell and on the Bam Duncan handoff. And that kind of neutralized their offense in a way that was a little alarming. That was in the bubble. That was during the seeding matches. And that kind of became a trend, you know, going forward. And that's why the offense the next year, in addition to like a short season, you know, they're tired, all that stuff, kind of contributed to their offensive demise because they had a top 10 offense the year they made the finals. Off the DHOs, off the ball movement, off all that stuff. So fast forward to the next year, teams are switching that action more. You know, Duncan, when you switch that handoff, you know, Duncan loses the advantage of somebody in a drop where somebody's playing below the screen where you can kind of come off the big and you have space to shoot. When they switch that, it's more quick, it's more sudden. The advantage that you theoretically get is, well, okay, I got a slower guy on me. Not the case with a guy like OG. Or really what teams are doing is switching wings on those actions. That's what they were doing. They were putting wings on Bam, and they would just switch those actions so they can keep up with any guard, whether it's Duncan or Goran or whoever, right, at the time, or Jimmy or whatever. And they said, well, we're going to bet that Bam's not going to punish, you know, the guy on the other end. So whoever that guy who was originally on Duncan or guard was, when they switched that, we're like, well, Bam's not a good post-up player and he's not very aggressive. We're not like really worried about him kind of hurting us on that end, and we'll gang rebound and we'll figure it out. And that worked. And that their offense stunk that year. And they, you know, that year was awful. We all remember how bad the 2020-2021 season was that ended with them embarrassing losing to the Bucks, where Jimmy got outscored by Brent Forbes. We all know how that happened. They get Kyle Lowry. Changes their offense. They become more of a pick-and-roll team. The handoffs, they still did a lot of handoffs, but the handoff numbers have gone down every year. And they're doing more pick and roll because Kyle is a pick and roll ball handler. And he can do the handoff stuff, but he is a pick and roll. He's a pick and roll guy. Jimmy's a pick and roll player. Tyler became a pick and roll player because he developed his on ball reps, his ball handling. And I think this year is really kind of, you know, last year we saw a lot of that. This year he's really, really heavy on ball, likes to play pick and roll, is a good passer out of it too. I mean, he's finding Bam. We like how that looks, right? That I don't think that's in question with Tyler. We're going to get it to him later. So they've been more of a, they've been less of a handoff team and more of a north-south team because the switching kind of got, they got figured out. And they're like, okay, suppose like we're pivoting. We got the personnel, let's pivot. And they did. And last year we saw how good that worked. They got a lot of shooters. They had Max, they had Gabe, they had Kyle, they had, you know, all these guys hitting shots, PJ, that mattered. Right? So their offense was fantastic. And now we're at a point that these guys that they depended on to hit those shots last year are not hitting their shots anymore. Right? And specifically in catch and shoot situations. Right? So I pulled up the numbers for their catch and shoot as well because I'm like, okay, well, how do they look on the looks? How are they shooting on the looks that Kyle, Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler are creating? So last season, this season, they're 27th in catch and shoot 3-point percentage. They are 32% on those catch and shoot shots. And those, like I said, are typically the ones that you're getting off of kickouts, off of drive and help actions. Those are the kind of in rhythm shots that you're looking for. Those are the, in theory, a lot of the most quality looks from outside are those kinds of shots. And the Heat are shooting 32% of them. Absolutely abysmal. And they're attempting the 12th most, so they're just doing a lot of something they're bad at. Last year, they shot 39%. They shot like around the same amount. Those are the shots that those guys are creating for the role players. And I think there's a couple reasons why it's not looking so good. I think the lack of a corner guy is really, really hurting them. I think PJ being in that corner, not only as a really good shooter, but as kind of like, okay, well, one pass away. Right, because there was a lot of help coming there. You know, early in the season they weren't guarding him, and then he hit a lot. He hit enough shots in the season that it's like, okay, we're guarding him until the playoffs. I have people in chat making fun of me. Smith says she went to the barbershop, pointed at the board, and let me get the youth pastor. I need a haircut. I need a haircut. I it's bad. That's why I've been wearing hats. But I don't like the way I look in hats. So I don't know. I've been wearing hats too much. So I wanted to kind of change it up and have my hair. Now I'm really self conscious. Thanks, Smith. Tiff goes, G will lead the Book of Mormons next fall. Schmeaton's making a fat joke, Book of Mortons. So that's funny. But so their catch and shoots in the toilet. And all their guys are shooting worse on catch and shoots. Struce, you know, top to bottom, they're just their catch and shoot numbers are worse. Struce went from 41 to 37, Vincent 38 to 25. That's the biggest gap. Right, because Gabe is a guy who was a huge recipient of those assisted threes where you get a guy in the paint and he, because he's such a good ball handler and because he can put some stress on the rim, he was overplayed, you know, because they're like, okay, well, we're protecting the rim. So he was getting so many open looks because you're closing out, but you're closing out with also like in your mind that he might put the ball on the floor. 38% last season, fantastic. 25% this season, abysmal. Just not helping your offense. Hurting it. Lowry is actually shooting 2 percentage points better, but again, 36 to 38, it's very similar. It's like good to like a little better. Not he, you know, you some would argue that he has to do more, and it's tough with the minutes that he has, and he put up a stinker last night. You need more from him when your role guys don't show up, but you know that's the reality that they're in. Hero 42% as a catch and shoot guy, down to 24 this year. That is what we're going to get into a lot later. Martin went from 40 to 38. Robinson from 34 to 31. Duncan's never been a good catch and shoot guy, but you know, obviously any decrease is bad. Tiff in chat says, catch and shoot is all about legs. Would I be wrong in saying that that's where we miss PJ? The defense, it's his defense we miss, these guys having to work so much harder on D. Absolutely. And guys, you know, we talked about it on a hangover time yesterday. Max is running like pick and roll actions. Brother, save your legs. We need you to knock down shots, not handle the ball. And they're in a space where everybody has to do so much on both ends of the floor. They're playing a little more. Everybody's playing more minutes because everybody's hurt. And it's just absolutely right. It's a reaction effect that you miss that stabilizer to kind of preserve your body so that you have lift and everything.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
That's just the reality. Their role guys have all regressed, and part of it is because they've asked them all to do more. So those are kind of their catch and shoot, like, number reality, right? A couple weird things on their shooting. So Hero is 24 on catch and shoots this year, but he's 42% on pull-ups, which is funny, right? And it makes sense that Tyler is very comfortable on the ball this year. And he's not, it doesn't appear that he's super comfortable when he's not kind of, you know, triggering sets and doing stuff like that. He's still a good screener. He still does a lot of good things in the offense. He's a good passer, all that. But I think it's been pretty, you know, this year he looked a lot better, you know, when he's the one that is kind of, you know, being the engine. And that part of that comes with he's in the starting lineup now. So he's not dominating the ball as much. I haven't pulled up his usage. I should probably do that. But I imagine his usage has taken maybe a little bit of a hit. I do just try to play him in kind of those bench units by himself. But if your catch and shoot numbers are going to be at 24% and you're playing a lot of your minutes with more dominant ball handlers, Kyle and Jimmy, that's a problem. And he needs to get that number up. And it's why Tiff and Bond and other people say that his numbers are good and not impactful, because he has to help his teammates by hitting those shots. And they're still guarding him, right? It's not like teams are like, Tyler's a 24% catch and shoot shooter this year. You don't guard him. Obviously, he's a good shooter, and you can't, you know, you have to close out hard and all that. But you need to help your offense. They're winning the minutes with like all five starters by like, I think it's like +5 per 100 possessions. That's like one of your best lineups. That cannot be one of your best lineups if you're just +5. That's what gets you to 500, because all your other lineups suck ass. So you need to really help yourself so that you're not trailing at all points in the game, and you're not at the end of the game gas, no legs, trying to make a comeback. Because every time fourth quarter comes, they're down a bit, they make a bit of a run, and then the other team pulls away. We saw it on the road at Golden State last night against the Pistons over and over and over again. They've had a couple of those comebacks in them, but they mostly play better from ahead for that reason. He needs the ball in his hand more. I think the lineup data also indicates that they're better when he isn't starting, which is unfortunate for a guy like him, because I think that he's done all the things they've asked. I really think that defensively, at his size, with his wingspan, it kind of is what it is, and it's unfair to ask him to be something else. I think he tries. It's not an effort thing. He's just fucking small. And when, you know, this Corey Joseph yesterday kind of works him on the perimeter, Tyler stays in front of him. It's not like Tyler's trying his best, but he can't really contest that shot, and he's not as big as Kojo, and Kojo just bullies him into the lane and gets like that little mid-range shot in the paint. Tyler can't do anything. That's on his teammates to come kind of help, hedge, recover, do anything that they can, you know, stunt the drive, do what you got to do as a Heat defense to make that not happen. But if you're Tyler, you're just a fucking target on defense. It's like you're going to be your life. And there's nothing he can really do against guys that are bigger than him. So all that aside, you know, Jimmy, Kyle, Bam, Caleb on the court with no hero is plus 30 net rating, 122 offensive rating, 97 defensive rating in 82 minutes. Screams role change. He's a good player. It's just not his role as a starter. Might not be what they need. And maybe he figures out some of the catch and shoot stuff. And maybe they can survive a little bit more defensively. Of course, you lose a little with Caleb at the four than with PJ. And that makes your Tyler minutes in those smaller lineups a bit more untenable. It's just harder. You're not, the help defense is not the same. You know, that stuff matters, especially when you're a small team that's already kind of hemorrhaging size and kind of, you're kind of managing like defense, offense. Like you have guys like Highsmith who play really well, but not enough on offense. And then you have guys like a hero that are getting attacked on defense and you're trying zone, but then your zone gets carved up. So I get why, and it kind of goes back to the Spo thing. It's like, I get people like mad at him and it's like, you're not like doing enough. And like, I think that's fair, but also like, let's like look at what the man's working with too. You know what I mean? It's difficult from a lot of different angles. I don't think that they move Hero to the bench. I think they should probably have some meetings about it. You know, it's tough for a guy that young that you committed and you don't want to piss him off. You know, you can't have, it's difficult to have these conversations with guys. And, you know, in the name of winning, sometimes you have to, but I get it. It's tough. And at some point they need to talk about it. And I think that you can be honest with yourself and say, this isn't working out. But that's not an indictment on who I am as a player. Because he's a good player. He's not a bad player. And I think anybody trying to spin a narrative where he's bad is like, come on, bro. He's like not bad. Obviously, if you have eyes. But he doesn't really fit with the needs of the units that they have given their roster construction. A couple people in chat. 49do says, Spo needs an offensive coordinator. I disagree. I think he's good, although last night on Hangover Time, people were really mourning for Dan Craig. They were yearning for old, good old Dan Craig, saying the offense has been bad without him. Turn Up God says, Martin was better off the bench as a spark plug. I agree. As a high-energy guy, you know, helps a lot. Can play some backup four. I don't think you want him as your primary four. Can also kind of, like, sprinkle some Jimmy at the four. You can do like, a four by committee.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Take a little NPC says, take a little trip piece. You guys have these names that are hard to read. I feel like the team and Spo have gotten too comfortable with each other, especially this generation. You can't tell them anything. Like I said, I get it. Like he won a lot of accolades last year. It's tough. It's tough when there's a certain kind of culture in the league. And I think Tyler certainly earned a starting role. His numbers are good, right? And he could point and say, well, it's not my fault. And part of it's right. You know what I mean? So I think it's a little tough for him, but again, like the context of like the lineups and what they need this season. Shmeetha says, why is there a Pussycat doll's frame on your counter? Where? My counter? On like, what do you mean my counter? Like on the back? Those are like anime Blu-rays. What are you talking about? It's True Nap God. I apologize. I'm trying my best here. And Alex says it's Troppy Baby. So that's kind of where they're at. And then the last thing, you know, with their shooting that I wanted to get to, you know, the Duncan thing's weird to me, man. 45% on pull-up threes last season, 28 this season. And those are kind of those handoff ones, right? Like, you know, I think that, you know, the NBA stats kind of takes those as handoffs where you kind of come off the screen, kind of take your step in, right? Shoot. Choppy Baby asked a question. Well, what would you do to adjust your offensive game plan? Give me a second. And so, you know, those shots on Duncan, they're just, he's never been like that catch and shoot guy. He's always been kind of like Tyler, like ball in my hand. Let me kind of run off this, get in my own rhythm. And that's been off this season. Like, right. And I don't know what the hell happened to him. I mean, he's lost. He's as bad defensively as I've ever seen him. And I'm like a strident Tyler defender, Duncan defender. So it's like, I'm like, I can't even stick up for you, man. It's like, oh, come on, give me something. So hopefully he has to figure that out. To answer Alex's question in chat, what would you do to adjust our offensive game plan? I think for one, you want to move, you know, given without a personnel move, I think for sure moving Hero to the bench is the first thing you do. You bring Max into the starting lineup. You play Jimmy at the four. Again, these are all like unideal things, but that lineup has been really good. It's like plus 30 per 100 possessions. And as we saw, like the lineup data, the offense is really good with there. I think, you know, you continue to run kind of the way you do. I think their shot profile is good. I like that they're a high pick and roll volume team. It's just tough when Hero comes in the game and there's no real, you know, if Deadman's not healthy, there's no like roll man as a big, like that's a problem. Their finishing at the rim is just generally like not as good this season. I don't really think there's anything schematically they could do. I just think some dudes are just getting older and some dudes have regressed like Gabe. But I think that the one big adjustment is kind of moving that. They don't run as much empty corner stuff as they did last year. And I understand why, because to run the empty corner sets that they loved last year, they need to kind of leverage a shooter and the movement and the screening of that shooter. And I just think teams aren't respecting that as much. So they'll just like stay home on the roll man, which makes it much more difficult when your shooters aren't hitting stuff. You could try more DHOs, which I think I would incorporate some of it. I would try to see if I can get like a guy like Duncan going. I would kind of separate Hero from like more dominant ball handlers for as much as I can, so that I can kind of get him going. And I hope that his catch and shoot game can kind of catch up to the rest of his game, because you kind of need him in like those other lineups, because you need the other ball handler. You know, Gabe not being good is bad for a lot of reasons, but in particular, they're just short on ball handling as well. You know, Gabe was a solid ball handler for them. And if it's not Kyle, it's just too much Jimmy and Kyle. It's just too much of all those guys. They need a little bit of kind of variety. I think it's hard. You know, I don't have a total solution, Alex. You know, there's a couple things that they could do, but, you know, like schematically, I'm like, yeah, I mean, they're getting the open threes that they want, right? Kyle's getting to the rim a lot better than I had anticipated. I mean, I had that argument with Ethan, you know, early in the season, and I think Kyle's been like pretty decent, you know, in getting to the rim and kind of spraying out the shooters. But, you know, guys got to hit shots. That's the one thing. And if guys like just truly aren't going to hit shots, then at that point, maybe spacing be damned. You try to get a little bit bigger inside. Maybe you do play two bigs. Maybe you play more Jovic and Bam, you know, try to get some offensive rebounding going. That's not really a good solution for your defense either, though, because like Jovic has been a disaster on defense this year. And I kind of get why Spo doesn't play him. And it kind of sucks that he's not ready yet, because they just really need anybody with Yurt hurt, with Deadman having the plantar fasciitis. Might need to call in Orlando Robinson. I would probably, the other thing I wouldn't want to hate to see is maybe like you put like Highsmith in the corner, right? So you don't start Caleb, you start Highsmith and Max, and you kind of put Highsmith in that PJ role. That way you can kind of separate Highsmith from like your other kind of not as good offensive players that are going to come off your bench. You play Highsmith, who's not shooting horrible in the corner. Alex is saying he doesn't love their shot profile for this roster. I mean, what shot profile do you want? You need a shot profile. They're just not good at anything on offense. I think that theoretically you want them to shoot threes off kickouts. They were good at it last year, and really, like, you know, you could do more movement stuff, but I don't really think outside of Max and Duncan and some Tyler, you don't really like have like these movement guys that can do a bunch of stuff. So, you know, maybe by putting Highsmith in a corner, because, you know, Max is not like a stand in the corner guy. Max is up top moving. He's always like screening and moving. If you put Highsmith in a corner, you kind of give yourself that natural release for the offense, but you could come into the problem that teams are just like, yeah, I'm just not going to guard him, which sucks, right? Because then if teams are just not going to guard him, he needs to hit enough shots for them to guard him or for that to not matter, because we've seen what it looks like, you know. And I thought the Detroit game was pretty emblematic of it. You know, they switch up top on the pick and roll. Your guard is barely getting to the rim, if they do at all. And if they do, those two kind of corner guys from the sides sink in. They kind of stunt your drive. So now you're playing in a phone booth and your shooters aren't hitting shots. So you spray out to them and they're not really helping you. So it's tough. I think even the biggest Heat critic, and there's a lot of people out there who are taking victory laps on how bad they are, which, you know, whatever. If you're right, you're right. I just can't imagine that even the most haterific hater could have foreseen how bad everyone got and how much everyone regressed top to bottom. That part to me is a little shocking, because if, you know, I think if you're like myself, or even if you're Pat and Andy, you go into the season and you're like, there was not a move for us to, and we don't have to relitigate the offseason. I stand by what they did. I don't think there was a move to be made. You know, Jeremy Grant is having a good shooting season. Congratulations. I didn't like what I saw from him as a shooter, and I don't want to take that chance that he comes here and is still a bad shooter. I think we've seen too many times guys have good shooting years, and once it starts to go, it fucking goes. I think Draymond and a bunch of other guys that we've seen throughout the league, and I just get scared, right? So I wouldn't have done that. Straight up, I wouldn't have. I was worried that a guy like Grant would have regressed as a shooter, and he didn't, and that's great, you know. But that was, you know, if you swing and you miss on that, you're stuck. And that he was not like such a for sure thing that I thought, yeah, the jump shot's gonna be like good. There's no signs of slowing down. Maybe I should have been more careful and maybe be like, ah, you know, he's in Detroit. Yeah, the catch and shoots aren't too bad. He has the ball a lot. He's the center of attention. That's all super valid, you know? I just didn't like those moves for them. And I didn't really like anything in the offseason. And I was in kind of agreement with the organization of like, okay, well, we're not going to pay PJ this third year. That's ridiculous. And we're just going to kind of go into this season. We're going to kind of have Caleb and Jimmy kind of split minutes at the four. We're going to, you know, I'm sure that they thought they were going to get more out of Yurt because their backup five situation has been a disaster. And I didn't think that they thought that all these guys are going to suck. And if these guys are like what they were last season or at least closer, you're not like gasping for breath against the Pistons at home. And I think that that's kind of where the Heat got lost. It's like, why are all these guys bad? Now, Gabe could be dealing with a knee injury. That could be very likely. Hopefully he gets better. Who knows? You know, Max hasn't been that guy, pal. You know, and, you know, we talked about the hero catcher shoots. Caleb Martin's been great in the wrong role, but he's been great. So that's kind of where we are. You know, that's, you know, Duncan's been nothing, just literally giving them nothing. And they've been super injured, you know, and it's not even the guys that you thought. Like, Kyle has played every game. Bam's played most of them. You know, Jimmy's missed a lot, and I think we all expected that. I think everybody expected that. But, you know, the rest of these guys, you know, they've missed a ton of time too. Max missed time. Gabe missed time. You know, Hero missed time. Everybody's missed time. So it's a bit surprising to me. I do think that they'll figure some stuff out, and they'll get to, you know, a place where their record is, while not anything to be proud of, is certainly not a punchline. I should say at least. 49ers says Gabe's always injured. I'm not paying him this offseason. They have decisions to make. They have decisions to make about Gabe, about Max, and they probably learned their lesson after Duncan and the kind of other guys that they paid those 4-year contracts after 30 and 11. Trappy Baby says, with the way their roster built, I feel like they should prioritize off-ball movement more than they do. Yeah, I agree. They do need another ball handler if Gabe's not going to be okay. But, you know, they need guys to be able to play with their stars and with Hero and all that. And that's like a guy like PJ. Maybe not an off-ball mover, but certainly a good off-ball screener. One of the things that they don't even do anymore is they don't run their hammer stuff. Miami used to love hammer screens. Hammer screens are like when the corner's empty and then the shooter runs and relocates to that corner off a screen. So if PJ's standing in the corner, he'll go screen for a guy that's about to come into the corner, right? So what that does is, A, that moves, that's shifting the defense on the weak side of the ball. So that help is already not, that person's not helping to the basket if Jimmy or Kyle or Bam or somebody is getting to the rim. And then now you're creating motion. So now somebody's caught behind a screen and either Max or Duncan or somebody who's threatening is flying into that space. They don't do that anymore because these guys aren't shooting well. And then if you set that hammer screen, A, you're just going to switch it now. And B, you might not even defend the ball handler. You're just going to defend the screener and make sure he doesn't cut to the basket. And that's kind of where they're at because they're just not dangerous or scaring anybody. And Alex is totally right about the off-ball movement and kind of what they lost in PJ. And we saw it with Jay Crowder, and this is almost a carbon copy of 2020, 2021. In like the personnel that they lost and what they provided for them. You know, with Jay Crowder, it was different, right? He was a guy that helped them with handoffs, that was in the corner, that helped them defensively. He was more important to their rebounding than PJ was, even though PJ was such a good offensive rebounder. But defensive rebounding, Jay helped a ton. And I think the following year, if I remember correctly, they were not a good rebounding team. This year, they've been a pretty okay rebounding team, all things considered, given their size limitations. And credit to Spo for that, for the players for kind of figuring that aspect out, because that could be way worse than it is, and I don't think we realize that. But kind of those are kind of the little nuances of the things that they don't do anymore that, you know, are not afforded by kind of the shooting. As I talked about earlier, the empty corner stuff, which is some of my favorite stuff that Spo ran, and I talked about it a lot, where they would kind of have shooters in the corner, similar to what we talked about with the hammer screens, and these guys are screening and moving, and they'd start in the corner, and then they kind of, almost like in soccer, how you kind of have that back line, and you know, you kind of hold your line so there's no offside. The Heat kind of moved that back line up, so now that help from the corner is coming from way higher, not from the deep corner, where that is a couple, maybe two steps for these NBA players. Now that's one or two more steps, you know, in addition to that. And that help was late, and they were getting a ton of stuff at the basket off slips, off cuts, off all that stuff. That's non-existent, and that's because, you know, teams are just switching that, and their shooters are not dangerous, so they're just like, we're not guarding the shooter, we're just making sure that the screener is like, kind of taken care of, and if we close out late, we close out late, whatever. These guys aren't, like, killing us. And it's worked, and, you know, teams are onto them, and let's see what Spo does now, right? And, you know, let's see what they do. Let's see what the organization does. They have some picks that they can move. You know, the question is going to be, do we get better for this season? Or do we just keep our stuff, let this ride, and then we retool next offseason? It depends on how good they think that they can make the team. Depends on the kind of move they can swing. Do you want to swing for Bogdanović, who's under contract for a while? They might not. Do you want to swing for Kuzma? He's not really a great shooter. He's not shooting the ball well. He's never really shot the ball well. So it's like, are you going to go for a guy like that? Genuine question, I don't know. And it's why I'm glad that I'm not making these decisions. It's difficult. It's like, you know, the guys that are available aren't the best shooters. You know, Kuzma, 31, 34, 36, 32, 30, 37. Very uninspired three-point kind of career. They've been linked to him. You know, they've been linked to Grant Williams, who would be great for them. I don't really see that happening. You know, I know that Leif's reporting is Teflon. I don't doubt that. But what I doubt is Boston, in good faith, negotiating with Miami. If anything, they could be pumping up Grant's value. They don't want to pay him, feeling what the market for him is. 46% from three this year, 41 last year, 37 the year prior. Just on the up-and-up shooter, very good player. Too good to be true. Droppy Baby says they got to get creative with their contracts and swing for multiple pieces. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's why you have Duncan.
You have Duncan at, I think he's at 17 or 18 million this year. That's a salary figure that you can kind of get. You can get to real money. You can get to two players. That's why you keep stuff like that, because without Duncan, they don't really have trade pieces. They have Deadman and they have Oladipo. And Deadman, Oladipo's at like, what, 7, 8, 11 million or something, and Deadman's like at 4 or 5, if I remember. So stuff like that is like why you keep these contracts. So you can make kind of some moves. Caleb's another guy they can move, but I don't really think you can afford moving Caleb then. I mean, they're short on wings already, and they can't, you know, they can't get another one. They can't get their only other wing out of here. Yeah, so yeah, they just, it reminds me of what Tiff said in 2020, 2021. She's like, they need. That's what they do. They need a guard. They need wings. They need bigs. They need everything. Thankfully, they have the stuff at the top. They just need kind of to fill out these role guys. Maybe the move's not as big as you think. You know, maybe they kind of get a couple guys that make a huge difference. Maybe Highsmith continues to improve and works out. Who knows? A lot of season left to be played. Mo Samba says, that's a funny name. I low-key feel bad for Duncan. Better for both sides to go different ways. Yeah, I think Duncan would kill it somewhere. I've always said the Jazz make a ton of sense for him. Just like as a player, just like the way that they play is really nice, because they have like a lot of bigs that like to do what he likes to do, and they a lot free-flowing and all that stuff. White Hot Take says, feels like trades are harder with each role player regressing this season. Yeah, you know, that's, I mean, And again, these are small contracts. They have bird rights, but, you know, Gabe doesn't have a ton of value intrinsically, and neither does Max, because those numbers don't really get you anywhere. You know, Deadman's expiring. Depot's kind of salary figure can get you places, but all in all, it's pretty tough. But, guys, that's where we are with this season. We'll see how it goes. I'll see you tomorrow for Heat Clippers. Hopefully Frankie's back for pregame, so you don't have any more of me. And I'll be doing post-game with somebody, probably Siobhan, maybe Kenny. I have no idea, but somebody will be doing post-game with me. And then we'll see you then. As always, remember to subscribe to the YouTube. I'm uploading shorts now. I figured out how to put a short. We have the Haywood Locksmith segment from Hangover Time on YouTube Shorts, so check that out. Trying to put our more creative moments. If you clip funny stuff on the show, you know, tweet at us, and we can throw that shit up. You know what I mean? We'll get content up, whatever you guys want. So let us know. Hope that you're enjoying our content this year in what is a down year for the Heat. You know, we'll try our best to bring smiles, positivity, and good analysis. And when we want to get angry like last night, we'll show up with y'all. Subscribe, listen, all that good stuff, rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere that you listen to us. As always, hashtag free melee. Our community is under siege by corporations and capitalism that are out to destroy these wonderful grassroots efforts in our community that I have been a part of for 21 years. So shout out to the, you know, I wouldn't be here without Melee. It's very nerdy, but, you know, always remember the people that, you know, where you came from and how you got here. So went to my local, more people than ever showed up. I love my community, and I hope that this gets resolved and the passionate people that do amazing things can continue to be passionate and do amazing things, because nothing in this world quite trumps love. And whether it's love for another person, love for a game, or your community, those efforts show in ways that I think that last, you know, as we see with Melee over 20 years. So a little self-indulgent for me there. Melee is sick. Free Melee forever and always. And I'll see you guys tomorrow.